Good morning, everyone. We have been doing a series this summer. We've titled it kind of our summer Bible study series using the Bible Project. And this is actually our third lesson together. And how this works is basically each week we preview the lesson on our weekly email messages called The Loop. And you're able to view this video, look at the Bible study. There's tons of materials. I look through it all, listen to all the podcasts, do the research to help us understand a little bit further. But this has been great. And to hear from many of you that you've been jumping in, looking at it, it's tremendous. And the more that you can do this to prepare before you come, the much more you will get out of our lessons that we look at Sunday morning. The image of God, Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we'll look at this morning. Last Sunday, we looked at heaven and earth. And for a lot of us who have this picture that we find in our culture, that heaven is just the place you float up to and get your wings and play the harp and float on clouds. And that is not the biblical understanding of heaven. Really, it is the rule and reign of God. It is where God's power, His love, His grace is experienced. And we did our best to work through that understanding. It's new creation. Now we go back to Genesis 1. This is a critically important study that we have together. Starting from verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is the word of God. Human beings are the greatest paradox in the universe. We are capable of so much magnificence and good and creativity, and at the same time, we are capable of such darkness and evil and sin. Even thinking about this past week in the news cycle, I saw a very moving story in New York City of the first responders parade, thanking all the first responders in New York City for getting them through the pandemic. And of course, they're still battling it, but for the most part, how much they have put their own lives on the line, the first responders, to help New York City get back. And that was just marvelous and wonderful and very touching to see doctors and nurses and paramedics and law enforcement walking down the streets of New York with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people cheering them on. Human beings are capable of such good, such creativity, such care. At the same time, right after that news cycle, back in my former hometown of Chicago, last weekend there were over 100 people shot in the city of Chicago, 17 of which have died. Young people, old people, during the 4th of July weekend. It broke my heart. My father, that was the first thing he said, is pray for our city. We're going through untold type of destructive violence and people are losing their lives. And I don't pick these two to push some kind of political agenda, but just looking at the news cycle, we see that human beings indeed are the greatest paradox in the universe. And you don't have to just look at the news cycle to see evidence of this. Look at your own life and heart. You're capable of such love and such care and willing to serve and put yourself out there for the benefit of others. And you're also able to deeply hurt and wound others because of your sin and selfishness. Why is that? Who are we as human beings that we're capable of such good at the same time, and I'll use the word unashamedly, such evil? Verse 26, we see here As we go back to the scriptures, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. First and foremost, as we look at the beginning of scriptures, we see that we as human beings are made in the image of God. That phrase, though some of us are used to it and accustomed to it, have to understand that in the ancient world, that is a very incredibly both disturbing and shocking and revolutionary claim. To say that all people, ordinary people, peasants, what have you, are made in the image of God would be absolutely shocking in the ancient world. Because only idols, as we saw in the video clip, and kings were the ones who were made in the image of God to display their glory, their representation, their beauty, their power, their authority. But when the scriptures say that all people are made in the image of God, is absolutely contrary to the surrounding nations, cultures, and peoples of their time. And I loved, as we saw in the video clip, that God commands not to create any images of himself. Some Bible translates it graven images, idols. Do not create idols or images of God. Why? And as we saw in the video, because God has already made images of himself in us, in humanity. So for me watching that, I'm learning and growing along with you as we're jumping into scriptures through the Bible Project. That is astounding. In Psalm 8, we have here, and it begins, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. It's a psalm that's praising the glory and power and authority of God. And then we have, and we'll put down on the screen, verse 5, yet you have made him, human beings, men, women, and children, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. When often we who have a very negative image of ourselves and of the human beings, for some of us looking down on those that aren't believers, aren't followers of Jesus, do not forget that as we look even at this powerful poem here in Psalm 8, we see that human beings have an exalted status over all other species, all other creatures in the world, just under divine beings. You've made them a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned them with glory. And I'm not making this stuff up. Here we have it in scripture. And so when we think about, and for myself, when I thought about, okay, so I'm made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, that means, and theologians use two different terms that talks about the attributes of God. They talk about incommunicable attributes, things that set God apart from us, and certainly there are many. I cannot be omnipresent. I'm not all omniscient. I don't know all things. I'm not all powerful like God is. But theologians often use this word communicable attributes, that we share certain attributes of God because he is our creator. We're made in his image. I get that. I follow that. I've studied that. I've memorized it. But this week, going through this Genesis 1, it really hit me that a big part of what I was missing, and maybe some of us here would share this, is this idea that being made in the image of God is a calling to be an image bearer of God. Bearing the image of God is being a reflection of who he is here on earth. And what that really means is this idea, and we see it in this mandate in Genesis 1, that we are called as God's image bearers, those are human beings, we are called to rule, to reign, some translations translate as subdue the earth in a way that represents God's reign, rule, and power in this world. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. A lot of us, we've known that, but we often don't make that connection together. But when we say that we are called and we have been made in the image of God, a big part of that is the task that we find in Genesis 1. We are called to rule and reign with the authority of God because we are His image bearers in this world. That is not sinful. This was given before the fall. And God is redeeming us back to that proper understanding of our life's purpose and calling. And so here we have it. Verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and what? Subdue it. We often think subdue is beating someone up, making someone do you your will by force. We have a negative understanding of it, but here we have it. In scripture from the beginning before the fall. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, or air, some translations, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is what it means to be image bearers of God or made in the image of God. Human beings have been vocationally set apart in this world because we bear His image. We are His image bearers. We have been called and created to rule, to reign, not in a destructive, self-serving way that we often think of kings and corrupt leaders. No, but reflecting the heart and character of God. We are to serve, yes, as Jesus did, washing the feet of the disciples, as we saw in the video, to bring about a fruitfulness and beauty that reflects the image and heart of God. That is humanity's calling. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. We are called to rule and reign on God's behalf. Tim Mackey of Bible Project says this. This is great. Our ruling and reigning is a call to advance the creation. God created this amazing space and He decided to share it with humans in a co-partner project. We were called to work together with God at making this creation as amazing as possible. Their purpose was to take care of this garden, multiply, and make more gardens, and creatively make them better. They were to take what God had given them and do something beautiful with it. Work is not sinful. There was work in the garden that was given to Adam and Eve before the fall. We often think, oh, I got to wake and go to work again. Oh, what a curse of sin. And when is it going to be over? And you realize even retirement doesn't bring the relief that you've been seeking for all your life. This is what it means to be the image bearers of God. God created us in His image to reflect His glory, but also in His place to rule, to reign with His heart and character, to make this world more beautiful according to God's plan and purposes. And that is astounding. Unlike ancient cultures and civilizations, it's not just royalty or the kings that bear the image and rule and reign, but it is every human being has been called to bear image of God in their lives. Though Wakanda is fictional, I couldn't help but have that image of taking vibranium for those that are Marvel fans and to harness the energy of this. Yes, it's made of vibranium, but what they did with it to make their city and culture and people beautiful, more blessed, prosperous, thriving, gives me a little bit of picture and understanding that often for those of us that think, well, it's going to hell anyways, it's going to all burn up, let's save as many people and evacuate as soon as we can, is not the biblical picture and understanding of the call that God has for us as His children, as His image bearers. And so as we begin to understand, as we follow the Genesis story, we know that we chose, we rebelled, we committed, as we talked about two Sundays ago, cosmic treason, rebelled against our maker, our creator. We wanted to determine what was right and wrong in our own eyes, and we've been battling that ever since. And so that explains why we were made for glory, to bear the image of God. But through our rebellion and sin, something has been fractured. That's why you and I are the greatest paradoxes in the universe. We're capable of so much beauty and good, and we're capable of so much darkness and evil. So can you begin to see, as we start looking at scriptures and tying everything together, why the scriptures indeed speaks the truth? Who else, what else explains this tremendous paradox that we find in humanity, in civilization, in our neighborhoods, and in your own heart? It is the biblical story that really helps us understand and begin to make sense of being made in the image of God, of capable of so much beauty and good, and at the same time, so much darkness and evil. And that's why the gospel comes into play. Jesus is, secondly, the true image bearer of God. Now, please don't get alarmed, as you saw even in the video clip, that are you just saying that Jesus was human and not divine? Absolutely not. But when we make him so divine and we forget that he was a human being, flesh and blood, just like you and I as well, we also are capable of committing heresy as well. Colossians 1 reminds us, as we talk about image bearing, he is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. Once again, I know Jehovah's Witness always goes back to this verse, firstborn, as he's the highest of creation. No, he eternally existed. He is part of the Godhead, the eternal Son of God. But firstborn in rights, authority, and power is what this phrase is talking about. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, for through him to reconcile to himself all things. I love that word, reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus is referred to in scriptures as the new Adam, the second Adam, or the last Adam. When we look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 15, and throughout the New Testament, we see that. Why is that? Why does the scriptures refer to Jesus as the second Adam? Tim Mackey helps explain this to us. Jesus came to do what humanity could not do on our own. Jesus shows us what it truly looks like to live life as the image of God. Through his life, we see that living as an image bearer means to serve and to love others, no matter what they do to us. That's what it means to be image bearers of the true God. And though we are capable of doing amazing things because we are made in the image of God, only Jesus perfectly represented in his humanity, in his life, his death, what a true image bearer should be like. Adam and Eve had a chance, and so did we. And we chose to rebel. But Jesus came, and just like Tim said, he did what humanity could not do on our own. He is the true image bearer of God. He shows us what humanity was originally created to do, to rule and reign with the heart and character of God. And he did it perfectly, unlike Adam, in whom represents us perfectly according to the scriptures, failed. Therefore, he is the new Adam, the one who's starting a new humanity, a new human race that properly bears the image of God in our lives, our work, our families, our friendships. He is the second Adam. He is the new Adam, the new human who perfectly represented God's image until the very end. Living as true image bearers of God means to serve and love others no matter what they do to us. And Jesus demonstrated that all the way to the cross. Throughout human history, we have rebelled and we have determined what is right and wrong in our own eyes, our own definition. We always want to set up an alternative kingdom and be an alternative king. And we dishonor the image that we find in one another because we rule and reign with us at the center and not King Jesus. Jesus truly is the true representation of God's reign on earth. The same task that was given in Genesis 1, to subdue the earth, rule over it, with the heart, the kindness, the power, the glory, the beauty of God. And Adam rebelled, and so did we. But Jesus perfectly represented and carried out God's heart, his reign, through his life and ministry. There is something about Jesus that makes him the most true, most accurate representation of his heavenly Father that you and I have failed to do, and we fail at it over and over and over again. And so, what is the gospel? Is it just to save your soul and find that ticket to heaven? Or could we see it in this way as we think about image of God? Number three, the gospel is a call to be restored image bearers. Have you ever thought of the gospel like that? It's not just save my soul and I'm going to heaven, but it is to restore the broken image of God in us because of our rebellion and sin, restoring it to represent God properly once again in our lives. Jesus invites humans into a new way, Tim shares in his video. Actually, the original way of being human, as we see outlined in Genesis 1. Through his resurrection, Jesus initiated the curse reversal of creation. Through him, all of creation is being brought to new so that his followers can be caretakers and gardeners of the created potential that God has imbued into the earth. That, my friends, is a refreshing, moving understanding of what does it mean to embrace the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And for so many of us, we haven't even considered this understanding. It's save my soul, insurance to heaven. Woohoo! Let's move on in life. But what about this world that God created and said it was good? Why don't we just get zapped up to heaven as soon as you come to faith in Jesus? He leaves us here for a reason, for however long that he intends for us to be here. The gospel is a call to be restored image bearers. He gives us the ability when we place our love and trust in him to be his followers, his heart, his life, and now in us. And we now are no longer slaves to the things that were originally meant for us to rule over. Sin has reversed it, and those things now rule over our lives. But we, as God's image bearers, now are set free from that slavery. And now with that freedom can properly represent God's heart and character, his rule and reign on this earth. What a great, refreshing understanding of the gospel. He calls Jesus, as we look at scriptures, the image of God as the truly human one. And that gives us hope when we wrestle with the great paradoxes of humanity, of the capability we are able to do, as well as the darkness that we fall into and wrestle with each and every day. Colossians 3, 9 through 11 says this, "Do not lie to one another," the Apostle Paul writes, "seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self," which is what? I love this phrase, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. That, my friends, is the hope that we have in the gospel. And I end with this fourth and final point. We have and we've experienced the ultimate invitation to our world that doesn't understand how to deal with the paradox that we alluded to in the beginning of good and evil. The gospel is that we were made for more. We were made and created as image bearers of God to rule, to steward this world and its resources in the image of God in His kingdom. The call and understanding of the Christian faith is that we are called to be priestly kings. Not in a way that we normally think of abusing and beating up people and using them for our selfish purposes and ends. No, but to serve it as Jesus did. That's what it means to serve as a priestly king. Revelations 5, we see here, and you have made them to be a what? Kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will what? Reign on the earth. Here we see the connection back to Genesis 1, do we not? And if we begin to have this fresh understanding of the gospel, not an over-spiritualized one that it's just fire insurance to escape this messed up world and go to heaven and leave it to go to hell all behind us, let us get out of here. The gospel then, when we begin to embrace the calling to be His priestly kings to serve this world, the gospel becomes far more compelling and attractive than anything else that you and I typically have understood. That is attractive. That moves my heart, and it should move yours too. This is the high call that God invites us into in His gospel of the kingdom. Tim Mackey, in the Bible Project video for this week, I think correctly summarized the dominant Christian narrative in Protestant America, in conservative church circles, that humans, yes, you are horrible, you are really bad, but God's really good, he writes. You need Jesus to make you like God so you can live with Him in heaven forever and ever. And of course there is truth to that, but well, if the world is hell in a handbasket, let's get out of here. Let's pray and wait for Jesus to come and get zapped up to heaven. And if you take that truncated understanding of the gospel that I grew up with, I'm self-confessing here, that I grew up with, it boils down to two perspectives, and we'll put it up on the screen. It's either the Christian faith is one where you get saved, not behave yourself. No smoking, no drinking, don't run with those that do. Don't smile, serious stuff here. Or God has come to redeem so that you can live in to your calling as image bearers to rule, to reign, to represent God here on earth. Which is more compelling for you and for those in our world that don't know Jesus yet? Get saved and start behaving like a good Christian boy or girl, or I want to redeem everything about your life that you can live out your calling to serve this world as an image bearer of God, become a priestly king to love this world, to serve it as we return back to the garden. God really cares for humans. He really does. And He is for our world. He would not have sent His precious Son, Jesus, if He did not. God is for humans, and He's for His world that He created and called it good. Tim Mackey goes on, as we get ready to end our time together, he ritually endows the earth with resources. And Adam and Eve, and I love this picture, and a lot of you in the working world, in the marketplace, in corporate America can begin to relate to this. They were the initial managers called to creatively organize and manage and enhance the productivity of the garden in a sustainable manner. I love that. And as we work, no matter what we do in our lives in terms of our jobs, if you are moving God's heart for the human project, words from Bible Project, you are involved in a sacred task. Whether you're working in a hospital, in the schools, you're working on your little garden, you're changing diapers, all is sacred before God. Everything that is considered work when done for the glory of God has intrinsic value. That's why our lives, our work matter to God. Your livelihood is the vehicle by which we work to further God's garden, expanding His beauty and reign in this world. It's not just about being zapped to heaven. And when we do that, as Apostle Paul reminds us, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, nothing is secular. Everything has intrinsic value when we rediscover our calling as the image bearers of God. He ended with this powerful illustration. When an architect designs a beautiful building that's meant to inspire people, and people walk into that atrium and they are blown away at the architecture and the beauty of this created facility and building, they, in their enjoyment of it, staring at the ceiling and the structure and the walls and the beauty, bring, the Hebrew word is kavod, glory, a weight, back to that creator, that architect. And that's the same analogy that we have in our lives, no matter what we do for a living or what we are studying. Zach Zanka says this, and we get ready to end. Amidst our flaws and sinful actions, there is an invitation from Jesus to join a new way of living. You were made for a purpose. You were made to reflect someone who is infinite and limitless. You were made to take what God has given you and do amazing things. Do the things God has designed you to do in the world that He's created. Jesus is the one true image of God. He is the Son of God. Jesus shows us a new way of living life as a human, as the Bible talks about, as the second Adam. And He offers us a chance to be renewed and restored, to properly bear the image of God and make a difference in this world for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, to the one that bore perfectly the image of the Father in the way that none of us can do in our own, and even Adam and Eve could not do, even being in a perfect place, the Garden of Eden. We thank You for that divine purpose that You have endowed each and every one of us with. Thank You that You are the answer to the greatest paradox in the universe, human beings. And we, Lord, invite You once again to remind us that You desire to represent You in this world, Your heart, Your character, Your rule, Your reign, Your justice, Your grace, and Your love. Thank You that You reminded us of this morning. Continue the journey of restoring Your image back into us as we grow, as we learn, as we serve, all to the glory of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.